look around at your neighbor. Quit looking at your timepiece. Don't look at the things about you. Lift your hands and close your eyes, because you'll be afraid if you look around. If you look at the flesh, you'll grow weary. But if you look unto God, you'll find him an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You'll find an abundance of grace that will satisfy every good desire. Lift your hands and praise him, O ye gates. Lift up your hearts and praise him. Let the rejoicing be heard from the hearts of Zion. Father, we are
glory.
the past. Hold that land, never be gone. I wonder why we wait for something tomorrow when God says He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus preached all the time. Someone didn't understand it all. At one time they came to Him and said, whose wife will a certain one be in the kingdom of heaven? He said, in the kingdom of heaven, any will be married, not given in marriage, but all will be one, and the presence of the Lord will fill every situation. You know, some people are looking for that after this life. But there's some of us that are getting a vision. It's not, oh, I want to see Him, but it's right now. God is in our midst, and according to your faith, be it unto you. If you want to rise to the mount of summit and the precipice of understanding, you can have your transfiguration tonight. You can have the glory of the Lord today. You can be a radiant light of truth. And I thank God for the assurance that this thing is not tomorrow, but it's today. Today is the day of salvation. If you can visualize that, as I looked on some of our young people, I hope you can see this is the kingdom hour. I looked on the precious numbers of young people here. I hope they don't get swallowed up in mortality like a lot of us. I hope they don't get families and unregenerate husbands and unregenerate wives between them. I hope they don't try to go out and buy houses and land, because He said that was the end time thing. But He said in the last days, we don't want to get in that thing. We don't want to get in the giving and marriage and eating and drinking and being married. But we want to be a servant of the Lord and begin to serve Him with all of our hearts and all of our strength. If you can realize it today, that today is the kingdom of God. Today He's come nigh unto you. Today the kingdom of heaven is as close as the breath you breathe, the words that are in your mouth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Now, if I could sing like some of you, I don't know what I'd do. Somebody's got precious voices. I can't sing anymore, and I just want to sing so bad. Oh, my love, God, oh, my. Oh, my God. Clap your hands and sing it. Everybody, stand your feet and sing it. Oh, my God. Unless the vibration's right.
unless the anointing's right. He said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. There are many of you that have precious nuggets when you're in your secret closet of prayer, but you get in this atmosphere and you say, where in the world are they? What in the world happened to my revelation? What's happened to that? I'll tell you, there's so much mortality in these church buildings, it's sickening. Amen. So let's get out of the Easter parade now. Easter's over, come and gone. The only good part about it was the little children that performed this morning anyway. It's all a routine and nonsense, and he didn't arise at that time anyway. It's all just a historical thing. And we better get the true resurrection in our heart and have a resurrection in the spirit, because this earthly resurrection doesn't mount to hell being. All this talk about tombs rolled away, darling. If the tomb hasn't rolled away of your consciousness and the grave clothes hasn't been taken off, he said, now is the day when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Today is the day. Well, it was yesterday, but today is the day. And you've got to get your grave clothes off. And all your piety and singing about Easter morning won't take you through. This is a way and a truth and a life. You read to your consciousness in the 12th chapter of St. Luke. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware you. Always seems that when great numbers frequented the Master, this great Rabbi, teacher, Redeemer, our elder brother, Savior, God Almighty, every time the crowd seemed to oppress him, he always got on the subject of hypocrisy. There's a great danger that crowds contain a great deal of hypocrisy. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Now God mold our minds this morning. This damnable church spirit, reduce it to nothingness. Reduce our temple trampling, our form of godliness that denies the power thereof. I ask thee to cast it out and make it be no more. I would ask thee to take every unrighteous spirit from this assembly at this moment. I would ask that thou would subdue every heart that is not interested in God. Every cross vibration, I pray, will be surrendered unto the mind of the Infinite One, that thou might prevail and that thy holy word might be spoken through the lips of nothingness. We pray, God, because we are nothingness. And only as we gather together in thy name, in one accord, and one place, will we hear from heaven. For no flesh shall glory in thy presence. And only as we agree, as touching anything, shall it be done. If this crowd are interested in the soup at home, are interested in their Easter kit this afternoon, we'll have another form and another abomination. Oh God, we've heard the words of men until we're sick in our nostrils. We would hear what thou dost have to say. We would hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Unite our minds and bind every heart. If it's necessary, God, return us to the day of Ananias and Sapphira. When every spirit is not obedient, we pray it will be struck down by the presence of the Almighty. Shilamana. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, and you shall fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto thee, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring unto you, unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. This thought
must be gathered this morning, the forbidden sin of hypocrisy, the correct attitude of life, and the definite prohibition of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our great master this morning. He's the great master. He's the only way you can approach God this morning. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's no other nature or character or manifestation that will give you saving power over mortality. What is the value of Jesus to us this morning? He swallowed up mortality. But he too was tempted in all points like as we. He too suffered the same problem that we do. He too had the struggle with the thoughts of hypocrisy and the thoughts of mortality. I would like to bring your attention the great mastery of Jesus this morning, and we are going to have to be sure that there's no hypocrisy in our hearts. I can tell you before we begin, we're all hypocrites. I can tell you before we get into the thing, we all have much in our hearts that is not desirable for him. And he knows where we walk because he walked there too. You remember the time on the mount when he was led into temptations for 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing? There's more of a mystery to that than what we see sometimes. We've all gotten in that place. Sometimes we just took it in a natural way. But he actually got into a place where he didn't even hunger. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing. Oh, my friend, have you been there? Have you been in a place where you ate nothing and you didn't even hunger for two? The world is in such a realm as that today. There is no hunger in the hearts for many, and there is nothing that is being eaten on the greater part. We must be sure that our hearts are hungry today. I said we must be sure that our hearts are hungry, and we must be sure that we're feasting on the things of the Lord. Now this spirit of Satan, which I would like to bring to your attention, is just my interpretation, and I don't impose anything upon you. But you remember the spirit of Satan took him up into a high mountain. He said it took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. There's no mountain geographically in all the world where you could see all the kingdoms of the world. The thing that he was wrestling with was the same old thing that you and I are wrestling with, and it's been the problem that everybody has wrestled with since the beginning of time. It's that ego nature, that pleasure nature, that self nature. It was the thing that started all the trouble since creation began. It was Lucifer who wanted to take some of the power and some of the pleasure unto himself. Lucifer is not a person. He's not a two-horned, hooked fella. He's not got green eyes and one-eyed, one-ear, purple eye, purple people eater. He's no apparition like that. He's a spirit. Just as God must be worshipped in spirit, and in truth you must recognize that Satan is a spirit. And we will try to bring that to your attention for what it's worth. If you still have a monkey-eyed devil, it's all right when we get through. But we want you to get the principle behind the thing. You've got to realize that the same mortality struggled with Jesus. The same hypocritical tendency, the same temptation struggled with him, but he overcame it. And brother, sister, we are at the precipice this morning. We're either going to serve him or we're going to serve Baal. I feel like the ultimatum's out in the ether this morning. We're going to have to decide this day whom we shall serve. If it's Baal, then let Baal be God. And if it is God, then serve him in spirit and truth. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except that character, that overcoming power, the consciousness, and the authority of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved from all mortality except you take on his name and identify yourself fully with all of his ministry. You get the message. Some people are trying to get everybody saved today. There's only going to be a few saved. He said this. If the days weren't shortened, no flesh would be saved. He said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Saved is more. We say we get saved in order. No, you don't. You get converted in order. You get a beginning, but you don't get saved at any altar. You've got to endure to the end to get saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, come on, elevate your consciousness and follow on a little bit here to go along with this thing. Satan is a principle. One time Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. It was in Peter, and the same thing was in him, and it was the same trial that was pressing Jesus. He was at the point where he would have to decide whether he was going to give of himself freely to all men, or he would take the power unto himself. Let's look at the serpent. Let's read a little bit about what this spirit of Satan is. Would you do that with me? There's a scripture I'd like to bring to your attention in the second Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, I want to tell you, I'm a kingdom preacher. And if you're wanting to get just a kind of a little light sermon, you're in the wrong pew today. I didn't want to come on Easter, but it just worked out that way, and we just decided to keep on with our routine. Brother Wilson and I thought we wouldn't get into the conformity, so he'd go to my place on Sunday, Easter Sunday, and I'd come here. And I know some of you may be a little bit disappointed, but you come up. You might hear something. You might just get something a little deeper than what we're used to, and that's what we're going to have to live on. Deep cries under deep, and we're going to have to get into the mystery a little bit. He said, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind. What is the serpent? Bible always speaks in parallel. It always speaks in a parallel fashion, an allegorical fashion. He said, the subtlety of the serpent, then he repeats the thing. He said, so be, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the serpent. What did the serpent do? It lured Eve with the forbidden fruit. In Genesis 3:6 it said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good, that's the serpent, the pleasure principle. What was good for food and thought was pleasant to the eye. And a tree to be desired, to make one wise. See all this mortality? That's the serpent. And brother, sister, it tried Jesus just like it tried you and I. He went through it, and I think some of us are right now at the place of the wilderness. We're right now where we're being pressed by the fire trials and the pressures of a desert experience. You may not realize it, but Jesus went there too. He could have yielded to hypocrisy if he wanted to. What did Satan promise him? If he yielded to the same thing here that Eve did, if he would have accepted the serpent and been attracted, the thing that she was attracted to by the forbidden fruit was that it was pleasurable to the eye. It was food that would satisfy her desires. It would make her wise. This morning, all of us are living in that realm. All of us are hypocritical. Too much we are interested in what is pleasurable to the eyes. Too much we're interested in what will make us wise. Why are you here this morning? If you look in your heart, some of you would be frightened to death if you knew why you were here this morning. You are here because of mortality. The serpent has beguiled you, and you're not here because of an honest conviction. You are here entertaining the pleasure of your eyes and the wisdom of your own mind and what you like for food. That same spirit is here. That's why it's been the church spirit that's always crucified the Lamb of God. It's the church spirit, it's the Pharisees and scribes that's always killed the work of God. The most abominable thing in all the earth is organized religion. You're still not with me, son. It don't make a difference. You know, when you don't get any salary and don't get paid and don't owe anybody anything but just to love one another, it's all right anyway. Praise his name. I'm still a little backward. I'd like everybody to pull with me. You get something more if you pull with me, but if you don't, we're going to keep on pulling because we've come too far to go back. Amen? We started, bless God, and we've got a vision of the kingdom, and we cannot turn back. Jesus could have surrendered to mortality. You want the kingdom this morning? How many want the kingdom? Well, everything that's seen, the Bible is a parable, and it speaks a mystery. And it's always a shadow. The things which he says has a hidden meaning. All of his parables had a hidden meaning. If you're living by the outward expression of a letter, you'll be dead just as sure as the world. You've got to find the mystery beneath it. You've got to get out of this realm of devils and demons and little old beings that are frustrating you. He said nobody's tempting you. You're enticed by your own lust. Nobody's pulling you away. It's your own nature that's pulling you away. And the Lord Jesus had to be tried with the same human nature. And here he was at a precipice. Here he was at a point of decision. If you will just bow down before me, he said, I'll give you all the glory. That same old ego nature. If you just bow down before me, I'll give you all the power. He said, if you want, bow down and worship me. And that big me stuck out. It stood out of the scripture to me the other day. That me, you me. That's the me that the old serpent's trying to get us to worship. Just to recognize the old me. Now let's look at this thing in hypocrisy. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees for its hypocrisy. What were the Pharisees? It was the closest religious order that day. They were the good old-fashioned holiness people that day. They would keep every Sunday school attended, and they would come to every prayer meeting, and they paid their tithes, and they wore sackcloth and ash. They were the best bunch that they had to offer in that day. But he said, beware of the Pharisees, because they are the unleavened bread of hypocrisy.
Their spirit is hypocrisy. Do you have any hypocrisy in you this morning? Do you? Let's find out. He said here, we must not have hypocrisy. God hates the hypocrite. The only time that Jesus ever spoke of hating anything was the hypocrite. He had no time, no tolerance for the hypocritical spirit. Now today, if we are to go into the kingdom, I'm talking about getting saved from mortality. I'm not talking about getting into church here. You're already in there. You can get in by the skin of your teeth if you want to. He said thieves and robbers are going to get in. But if you want to be saved, you understand what I'm talking about? If you want to be saved from mortality, you're going to have to enter in at the door. If you want to be a son, you're going to have to walk as he walked and overcome as he overcame. Oh, this morning, if we could just get the fullness of the meaning of his sacrifice. To some of us, it's just a little old splendid memory of a Christ on the cross. But look what he had to make, the great decision that confronted him. Here was a decision: if he bow down and become egocentric and think of the pleasure principle and let the eye be his test of judgment and let his own desires be the test of judgment, he could have had all the world and everything could have bowed down before him. He could have had that if he wanted it. And yet he did not take it. He became a supreme sacrifice to show you and I the way to God. It's wonderful when you stop to consider how much God has done for us. It's wonderful. He gave his life so freely. He would not become involved with any petty motive. I would say, as we go into the thing a little bit further, and I look at some of my own motives because I can't look at you, I would say that there are many of our motives that are certainly still the pleasure principle, or the sex principle, or some ulterior principle as a reason for doing things. But Jesus absolutely turned his back on all of those things, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he went through the wilderness, hallelujah. And then he had a love for his fellow man. He loved him so much, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you under my wings, and you would not. He loved them so much. He was a savior. He could have brought them redemption. If they'd only recognized him, he would never have to die. He could have brought an absolute messianic whole new creation. The kingdom could have been brought to earth right at that time. But they would not have it. I wonder if we go as far as he did. I say, I wonder if we go as far as he did. Come on now, get the victory. You might get a sermon if you did. I wonder if we go as far as he did. To give up the self nature, not to be perpetuated by the old desires of the self. And yet he wanted to give us freely all that he had. And when he saw that man would not accept his free gift, he made the best of his advantage and laid down his life. He laid down his life as a ransom for many. He couldn't give them freely. He couldn't forgive their sins and show them the way. They were looking for a natural kingdom. They were looking for a powerful kingdom. And he could not subdue or surrender his own convictions. And so he fulfilled their law. He so loved his people. He was called to Israel. He didn't start as a redeemer of the world. He started as a redeemer of Israel. And he so loved Israel that he gave his life for Israel. He said he had to shed his blood to redeem Israel. Israel's law said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But he was forgiving sins by the very walk and by his shadow and by his countenance and by his finger. By the very finger of God, he was casting out devils and had authority over all these things. But he was so noble. He had the true selfless attitude. Now, I'm talking about a way of life. Now, some of you, come on here. Because you're going to have to get this. Even though of all the ramblings and confusion of this sermon, you're going to have to get that thing. You see, he was so in love with the creation and so in love with his fellow man and so desirous to do the will of God that he would even sacrifice himself. And that's what most of us won't do. He could have surrendered and had a natural kingdom and had power and been a royal potentate and he would have done a good work, but it wouldn't have been the proper work. It wouldn't have been the pure work. He could have stayed in his bodily form and taken the glory, and that wouldn't have done the good either because they wouldn't have recognized the God that was in them. So he had to surrender himself to save Israel. He saw a means of saving Israel by the shedding of his blood. He saw that said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so he decided that he would lay down his life and prove his love for them and shed the blood of his own being and shed his own life that he might win them through his example and through the character of his sacrifice. Now look at our attitude. So you're not getting that.
And it's not altogether my fault, although I'm a poor preacher. Some of you are not getting it because some of you are not interested. And we need to get interested in this thing. I said, except you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall not be saved. There's no other name given under heaven by whereby you can be saved. Here he had two alternatives. Even when he wanted them and wanted them to meet him and they wouldn't accept him and wouldn't come, he was willing to give that up when he could have power and become a royal king and have influence that would cause men to bow to him. He would not even do anything that would satisfy his own desire. He truly wanted to redeem them. And he saw that there was no other way to redeem them. He'd been with them and they hadn't known who he was. Even in the face of his walk, they had denied him. Even when he was praying, sweat drops of blood, they would not even stay awake with him. And so he decided, even though he knew who he was, he didn't have to shed his blood. He was God because he had entered into the authority of God and he had all power. He said by the very word, he could call a legion of angels. He didn't have to shed blood to do any good. But he saw the only way he was going to leave any kind of impression and do any work of redemption was to shed his blood and make himself a ransom for Israel and fulfill their laws, which were limitations, that they might come to an understanding of God. Did any of you get that mystery? God Almighty, it was sowed in my heart, and that must be valuable to somebody. He was willing to get himself out of the way. But I want you to look at our attitude. Why are we here in the church this morning? A few weeks ago, God dealt with me, why was I preaching? Hypocrisy, remember, it's an abomination. He said, avoid it with all of your life and all of your energy. If you want to get into the kingdom, you're going to have to avoid the thing. Now, if you just want to make it by many, many works of incarnation and by many purgations, you make it. I'm in the wrong pew today. Did you ever see people in this vibration? They're just in levels of consciousness. Well, is there somebody in Easter consciousness this morning? I'll read you another scripture and see if that breaks up something. Because you can't pay too much, you know, the devil, he's just around. That old spirit which is in all of us, he's just around to catch us up in something. So I'll just have to be very careful. He's as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. I'll drop one more scripture and see if you get this. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure or the exact likeness of him that was to come. Well, let that just, I want you to get the scripture, that's in Romans, you look for it, and you find it, you study on it. Jesus became the first man that fully surrendered mortality. And more than that, he had to do it, because as whatsoever man sows to the flesh he reaps corruption. Nobody else is going to pay for your sins, and nobody else is going to pay for your transgressions. That's why he said the first Adam and the second Adam, if you can catch the mystery. He's an exact figure of him that was to come. And you reap for your own sins. And I want to tell you, darling, you're going to keep living in mortality until you swallow up every desire of the pleasure principle. Until you get to the place where you don't want anything else but to serve God. As long as you're coming to church because it puts food in your belly. Now some of you are catching the glimpse of the thing. As long as it's something that entices your eyes, you're going to continue in mortality and continue in the beast spirit and continue in the serpent realm as long as many incarnations as it takes you, if you please. He said, he's a nut. I want to kill him. That's what they want to do to the Son of God. Now, I haven't even got one-tenth of 1 degree of 1% or a fraction or even a proportion of 1% of a fraction of what we're going to move into. Now, I can already tell when you get out here in the mystery or talking to prayer about expansion that there are just people that rise up either with indifference or rise up with a kind of a barrier that's the most ungodly thing in all the world. But I've got to preach what God put in my heart. He was the figure of him that was to come. He was, well, we're just not there getting there. It was the first Adam and the second Adam. How many have caught the thing now? Whatsoever you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Adam and Eve surrendered to that spirit of the wants and desires and the pleasure principle, which is a serpent, and she beguiled Adam, the first son of God, an image of God. Adam was as much an image of God as Jesus was. And the first Adam had to be redeemed by the second Adam. Nobody else could do it. The second Adam had to redeem the first Adam. Nobody else can redeem you from your weakness but you yourself. Nobody else is going to bring you out of your peril but you yourself. Now, because of the mystery. That's why it's so important to get hypocrisy out of you.
You know, in the beginning, nobody understands the mystery of the Bible unless you listen. How many of us today don't even know what he was talking about? He's terrible. He talked so vaguely. Somebody asked him some question, he'd go off on some tangent. Nobody knew what in the world he's talking about. But a few of them get it. You say, art thou a prophet? Art thou John the Baptist returned to earth again? Art thou this one, that one? All the rest of them just saying, why, thou art this and thou art that. He didn't pay attention to him, but one little Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, who for flesh and blood hath not revealed his enemy, but thou spirit. Hallelujah. Well, some of you this morning that's going to get the revelation. Even though I'm the poorest preacher this side of heaven, I want to tell you, some of you are going to get the revelation. If you open up your ears, you will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Mortality has to be brought up. What the first Adam didn't do, he was beguiled by Eve. He left the principle of pleasure overcoming, but he came back, hallelujah, and the second Adam fulfilled everything and overcome everything. As in Adam, all power, so in Christ shall all be made alive. You're following the thought. And today, if you want to get out of this mortal version, there's only one door. If you want to get out of childbearing, come on. Some of the curses, you've got to know the Bible. If you want to get out of the toil of your brow, working and sweating and physical extenuation, you want to get out of sex, how many do? Well, Lord, you send me to Mars. I'm reminded of some of you went in the doctor's office one time. He said, doctor, what's the matter with me? He had hives all over him. And the doctor says, our tests have discovered that you were meant for the planet Mars instead of Mother Earth. And sometimes I think some of us were meant for someplace where we're not. And that's why we got so many hives and so much frustration, but we still got to be true to the highest that's within us. Come on now. In the beginning, God created you in his likeness, didn't he? He finished all of his creation in 6 days, and he rested, didn't he? Is he creating any souls from this morning? No, he's resting. Some million, trillion years back there, he created you. Where have you been since you started, honey? You think it out. Huh? What you been doing? Wandering around in the wilderness. Just like Adam, you wandered around in the wilderness. You were driven from the presence of God because of your hypocrisy, because of your pleasurable desires. You've been hiding behind the tree of your limitation and your mortality, and you failed to come back to the presence of God. And I want to tell you, you stay out there in your nakedness, and you hide behind the tree for another billion, million years if you want to. But as for me and my house, I'm going to come back to the Lord. I've got down as far in the fountain as I want to go. I've been swallowed up in the muck and the mire. I've got out of Father's house. I've trampled his goodness underfoot, and I ask to be where I'm at. But glory to God, I want to get back home. Hallelujah. Job was a singing and squalling and bawling about his lot. And the Lord reminds him in the Greek version, he says, now, Job, you were there when the morning stars sang together. Give me a glass of water. Did anybody catch that? Job, in other words, you asked to be where you're at, so quit complaining and get back on get off of your back and begin to look heavenward and come back. You asked for all these boils and troubles. You asked to come down in this realm. This is interesting. This is a new experience for me. Some of you think I'm a nut, and some of you are wondering, and the rest of you have gone to sleep. You must know there must be something in my heart, or I wouldn't keep on in such a vibration, but I'm going to keep on. Hypocrisy, pleasure, desire. There's only one man that fully surrendered himself. That's why I don't follow Muhammad. Muhammad never laid his life down for principle. That's why I don't follow Buddhist, because he never had the magnanimity of love. Jesus could have taken power, which Buddha did take, but he chose rather. He saw that he could better serve humankind by getting out of the way and shedding his own blood and leaving the memory with him. Oh, some of you that trample the courts of God asunder and you take the wine in remembrance of his blood. He said, why don't you remember what I've come for?
Corinthians says, don't remember me in the physical sense, but remember the body, many-membered body, remember the life.